right. Oh, go ahead and give them a big shout. All right. Well, you may be seated. Yeah. Sunday of peace. But hold on. See, this is what I think you really need to understand. Peace is not silence. See, this is the problem we have. We think peace is silence. And peace is not silence. Peace is this, is a better connection point to peace. It's faithfulness. It's knowing the faithfulness of God in our own reality. And I want to give you three things today. We're going to talk about investing today. And we're going to talk about what does it mean that God has made an investment in you. God has made an investment in you. The first thing He's brought us is hope. There's no peace without hope. Does that make sense? If you don't have any hope, then you can't have any peace. These things are in order. All right? So the first thing God had to do is He had to say, guess what? I'm willing to become the hope of the world. And when you become the hope of the world, guess what happens? When you become the hope of the world, then the possibility of peace is available. For this first reason, Jesus enters in. And I want us to pray right there. Jesus enters in. Now guess what? If you're here today and you're going, oh man, what am I doing in a crazy church that plays a drum line? You're here today because guess what? If you're not connected to Jesus Christ, and guess what? Every Sunday, this is what I love about this church. Somebody walks in here that's not connected to Christ. And I want you to know if you're not connected to Christ, we love the hell out of you. I mean, we really do, and I mean that very literally, because we want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, and He's entering into you, and you have a possibility to be saved today, and you don't have to sit where you used to be. And guess what? We believe in all this stuff. We believe that Jesus Christ will enter in. That's Christmas. And so for those of you that have been seeking God and you've been wrestling trying to find Him and you've been wondering if you can get to Him, I got some good news. He'll come to you. He'll come to you. You see, Christmas is not about us going to God, is it? I thought it was about God coming to us. It wasn't about that we did something to make God come. It's that God came, and He came through Mary. He came through a human system. Jesus had a mommy. Her name was Mary. You say, why did God choose Mary? Because God did. She was a humble, righteous girl. Now, you want to see some things happen great in your life, just kind of prepare yourself, be humble and righteous, and see what kind of peace you get. Just be humble and righteous and see what God does in you. He chose Mary to be the mother, and peace entered in. So pray with me today. I want you to get this. I want you to get this today. That peace can connect to you. You ready? Now guess what? Devil gonna fight this message today. Because the devil loves America. Y'all realize that? It's probably one of the most demonized nations out there. We got all his goodies. Anxiety, depression, materialism, neurotic, self-consumed, greedy, lovers of pleasure rather than of God. What culture am I describing? One nation under God? I say one nation with God's possibilities would be more truthful. Amen? But when you get under God, peace is that way. It's on its way. It's on its way. Let's pray. Lord, I pray most of all today that we get this, that we would receive you. Lord, I want to go ahead and pray for people that are disconnected from you right now. Lord, I want to pray that they realize they can be connected. Just want to start there, that they're welcomed here today and they can be connected. And whatever church experience they've been through or if it's been negative, Lord, we just pray that you pray that off and you let them realize today that you're a God that loves them and you're a God that wants to bring peace to them. And most of all, Jesus, I want to thank you that you're willing to invest in us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right, let's look at this. I want you to go to the Apostle Paul. Guess what? The Apostle Paul let Jesus enter into his existence. I want to start there today. There is no peace in your life without Jesus Christ. And the reason I bring this back around, because I know what some of y'all are trying to do. You trying to have joyful moments and call it peace. How many of y'all go for the bling instead of the consistent reality of God's peace? You want a moment. You want Disney. You know why people go to Disney? You know why Disney's so popular? Because you can go pretend for 3 days that your family's together. You can go to Disney and pretend like all that I'm a good dad, I'm a good mom, and we're having a Disney experience. You know, and everything's okay. But guess what? Here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus didn't go to a pretend world. He came to the real world, and he brought real peace. And Paul lived in the real world. Now, first step to peace. Will you let Jesus enter in? Will you let him enter in? God's going to work a miracle. How many of y'all believe God can work a miracle? Yes. I do too, but guess what? He can't if you don't let him enter in. How many of you all refuse to be that miracle? I got friends of mine, they refuse to be a miracle of God. They'll look at me and say, "Here's my life's miserable." I say, "What about Jesus?" "Oh, I ain't going to die. Man, don't run that stuff by me." I said, "So you having a good time right now?" I'm messed up, but I don't need Jesus. I want them to go ahead and add in I'm stupid too, so they'll get a full picture. And here's what stupid means. I refuse what would be great for me. How many of y'all realize God wants to save you? And then we sit here like this. "Well, Lord, I'm not worthy enough. Lord, I've done this. He knows. That's why he came. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come to make you perfect, or did he come to forgive you? Now, I don't know who did it, and I really don't care who did it, but there were a bunch of religious folks that have perverted this message. It made a bunch of other folks feel like if we're not perfect, we can never come to Christ. Here's the whole message of Christmas. Even though we weren't perfect, even though we weren't at peace, even though we weren't forgiven yet, God came and entered into Bethlehem. And that allows people like the Apostle Paul to say strange and wonderful things like this. Paul said, "I know what it's like." Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Because here's what I want to let you know. You got to let Jesus enter in, because here's what you got to know. Second thing today I want you to know. Say, "I want to know this." Just con me. Say, "I really want to know this." How many of y'all would like to have some peace? I'm on a mission. I'd like for y'all to calm down and enjoy the ride. You know why? You're leaving soon. Some of y'all have been anxious. Man, that's just where I feel. I've been this way. Guess what? It's what bugs me about my life. I've wasted some moments in my life that I can never get back, that I just sat there and lived in anxiety. And now I got a few gray hairs on the side of my head, and I kind of like them. And guess what they tell me? What I worried about was not worth worrying over. Amen. I used to worry about this church. I don't worry about it anymore. If it's going to fall apart, so be it. If it's going to be a blessing, so be it. Because guess what I've learned? No matter what, Jesus will be there. Somebody just needs to remember this. I got to let him in. He's willing to enter in. And then I got to be reminded, Jesus is here. And look at what Paul said. He said, "I know what it is to be in need." Some of y'all know what it is to be in need. I've heard the Christmas stories from my father where having an orange was a great moment. He had Christmas in the Depression. Now, I don't have that memory. Now, I remember when Santa Claus wouldn't bring me a motorcycle. And I talked to Santa Claus all year long the next year. Santa Claus still left that motorcycle in his bag. In fact, Santa Claus made me go buy my own motorcycle. But you know why Santa Claus never brought me a motorcycle? Because Santa Claus wanted me to be here as an adult. And Santa Claus was smarter than I and would only bring me what I needed. Jesus brings me what I need, even when I don't want it. And Paul said, "I know what it's like to be in want, to not have what I need." And he said, I've also known this. He said, "I know what it's like to have plenty." How many of y'all have plenty? How many of y'all right now you're thinking about, "Man, I just hope I get lunch today"? How many of y'all even had that thought? Or have you had this thought, what am I going to have for lunch today? You see, that's two different thinking strands, isn't it? I hope I get lunch today means there's a possibility that I don't get lunch today. And then the other one is this. Guess what? Where am I going? What do I get to eat? I've got plenty. I want to tell you right now, we live in a land of plenty. And here's what Paul was saying. Whether you're in want or whether you're in plenty, Jesus is there. And what brings peace is Jesus is there. So when you're left out, I want you to know Jesus is there. And when you have enough, Jesus is there. Jesus is what? That'll bring you peace, no matter where you are. Because then Paul said, I've had to learn how to embrace peace. He said, I've learned this. It didn't come natural. How many of y'all, it just doesn't come natural? Man, I tell you, if my life has been riddled with the Rolling Stones complex. I've had that complex. Can't get no satisfaction. Got to, Mick Jagger's disease. It just can't. Watch this. In fact, Elizabeth said, I've had a bad case of the next. Every time I receive something, I'm always talking about the next something. Anybody else got that disease? I get a car that's new to me, and I go, it's a nice car, but my next car, how many of y'all always living in the next? You know, my next wife, I'm just kidding on that one right there, okay? No, hold on. How many of y'all lean over there and live in the next? And you have no peace because you never celebrate the what is. You see, I'm going to celebrate if I'm in want because I have a God that is a provider. I have a God that is my hope, even if I'm in need. And I'm going to celebrate in Thanksgiving when there's plenty because I have a God that has provided. But I can say this, whether I live or whether I die, my God stays the same. So peace is available. Now that's the power. That's the power that God could release. Hello? Whether I got a lot or whether I got one present or ten, God is the same. Embrace the moment in Christ. So I want you to know Jesus is always there. And look at what Paul said. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I want to give you this third thing today. You know why? God takes you. Somebody hear this today because somebody's going to get saved today. What do you think about that? Look at this. God takes you where you are. Somebody, just go ahead and say this with me. I'm here. I'm here. Wherever here is. Some of y'all, here. I'm here. And God takes you where only He can take you. Think about it, that's salvation. I'm here, Lord. I'm stuck in my sins. I'm a rascal. How many of y'all are rascal? How many of you girls? How many of you girls even messed up? How many of you good-looking, kind of even like holy-looking women have made mistakes before? My mama told me she sinned. I didn't believe it, but she did. My mama got sick, and they put her on morphine, and I said, here's my chance. I'm going to find out what this woman finally did. They finally got her drugged up, and I'm always picking and pestering on my mama. And I looked at her and I said, Mama, anything you need to tell me? She said, where's the Kroger coupons? I thought to myself, my mama, full of dope, can only talk about Kroger. You know, I thought I was going to get some good. Now, don't dope me up, because you'll hear some stories you don't want to hear. But I tell the doctors, now when y'all let get my mind loose, you remember I'm saved by the grace of God. And when you hear whatever comes out of here, you remember saved by the grace of what? How many of y'all glad to know when your mind gets loose and your lips get loose, you got a testimony that says saved by the grace of God? Because see, here's what I'm trying to tell you. God took us from where we were and brought us to where we could only be with Him. That's heaven. And so here's what I want you to remember. Paul learned, and I want you to learn in this moment. He said, I have learned to be content no matter what my situation. Because he said, here's what I have come to see. I can do everything through Him that strengthens me. That means God is my possibility, God is my hope, God is my reality in Jesus Christ, and God is my peace. Now, I got to end to this moment for just a second. Can I break this down? Chill out in the name of Jesus. Is that plain enough? I'm telling you something. We've been a bad witness in the church. Those of us who claim to follow Christ, we ought to be calmer than those who don't follow Christ. You know, remember that Christmas when everybody got all just crazy on Furbies? Remember those Furbies? I mean, you had kids going into mental therapy because the parents couldn't get a Furby. And guess who was a large crowd pushing that craziness? Those who followed Christ. Not just adults. Adults that followed Christ. And we should have said, we should have quoted Paul. With a Furby or without a Furby, I shall be content. Did we get a stupid Christmas toy this year that everybody went crazy over? That scared me the other day. I heard some kids, they said they were going to go play Wii. You know, I've been out in the country. We call things different names out there. So I had this strange look at my face. What do you mean they're playing Wii? I said, we used to play that when it snowed. And they said, no, not Wii. Wii, the game. That didn't help. I said, we the computer game. Oh! I said, what, y'all educate me. What's the Wii thing? Now they say you can take that Wii and you get to actually move while you're playing a computer game. Is that the big deal? I got a great idea. Go outside. We had these games when I was growing up. It's called Hole in the Garden. We played that game outside. We called this one Raking the Leaves. We played that game outside. We had some other games outside activity. Plant the trees. Weed the garden. That was a full motion. You didn't even have to do aerobics. We had this crazy stuff back in the old days called work. And for some reason it brought peace. At the end of the day, God had used your life to do something that you thought you could never do. Wow. If you're ready, look at this. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Well, you know what? In just a second, I'm fixing to, like, really, nobody leave, okay? Y'all say okay. Okay. Nothing bad's going to happen. Okay. If you're a guest here today, I'm glad you're here because we're gonna take you through our only business meeting here at Hillview. How many of y'all ever went through a church business meeting and you went, why? Me too. And I was the pastor. I wanted to stand up after business meetings I'd been in and go, why do we do this? But we have an investment plan here. And if you're a part of Hillview or if you're wondering what do these strange people do other than play drums real loud in an offertory, those drums are intentional today. There's a rhythm of God. And I wanted you to get three rhythms to the... I don't know about you, I kind of like those drums. Now, I have to watch it when we have all those drums in worship. Because those drums fire me up. And I get to having flashbacks. And I get in pregame, man. I get up there. It's about time to preach. And I hear those drums and I want to come out of the tunnel. You know, and the game day's on. It's on. But you know, I got to thinking, I started hearing those drums, and guess what? There's the rhythm of Jesus, and guess what? He's been on a long time. Guess what he's saying? I want to get in your life. I want to stay in your life, and I want to take you places you couldn't even dream of going. You can do all things through me, says Jesus, who strengthens you, says Jesus, if you just will. So what we're going to show you, we're fixing to have 208, or I put it more correctly in truth, if we get to year 208, we may not get there. I don't know. You don't know. Why y'all look at me like that when I tell you stuff like that? Some of you are going, I got to get to 208. I'm getting a Wii for Christmas and I want to play it. You know, I mean, come on. But I want you to know Jesus is going to get to you. I want to introduce our BAM team. Jim Martins, if you'll stand up. This is a little rowdier service. So would you all welcome Jim Martins. And this is our BAM team. Come on, Kevin. We'll have to do you like we do all the younger deacons. Y'all weren't hired to lag behind. You were hired to get ahead now. Get on up here. This is a great team, and I want to tell you how your church operates. These gentlemen make sure that every dime you give, every penny that you give, goes in the mission of this church. And I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, they know how to manage. And they're up here for a reason. First of all, they're called by God. Secondly, they know how to manage. They own businesses and stuff like that, so they know how to do businesses. Dale, you kind of in charge of a little school system we got here, right? Yeah, it's got a few thousand people in it, most of you. So I want to introduce you to these folks. Dale Brown, Scott Gregory, Lanny Loeb, Joe David Meyer, John Pryor, our newest member, Kevin Briggs, and our team captain, Jim Martins. Don't let me get the drums back up here and we'll get... but I won't talk to you because you got a brochure, and I just want to tell you, and I'm going to turn it over to Jim. I want to thank you all for your giving. We've had a great year, and you're going to see this great year. And guess what? We're going to pray as we go through this budget. Guess what's going to happen today? Somebody's going to get saved today. Y'all cool with that? Y'all all right with that? Somebody's going to come to get baptized today. Y'all okay with that? Huh? Anybody? Some of you going, what? Some of you going, what? See, that's why we have church, that you might get connected to Jesus. Because let me tell you what, this doesn't do you any good. Well, I came to church, had a good time. Did you meet Jesus? No. So if the trumpet hit today, that wouldn't be a good day for you, right? Here's the way I want y'all to live in peace. If God blows the trumpet today, most of us in this room are okay. But I want you to think, this investment plan is not about how much stuff we can do together. It's about getting this great message of Jesus Christ to people. To people. All sorts of people. All different kinds of people. That if the trumpet blew today, they would not be all right. And that's what it's about. Ross, it's about, even in the midst of a funeral, three of your family members starting to talk about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about that. And that's all we're about here at Hillview. So listen up. This is going to be painless and only take a few minutes. It's going to be a great time. Mr. Jim Martins, welcome to the 11 o'clock service. In 11 o'clock service, would you welcome your BAM team to this service?
Our number one goal here at Hillview is ministry. Our goal is to see how many people we can lead to Christ and enhance and enrich their lives through deeper relationships with Jesus through C3HD and through the Big Five. And our team understands that vision. And our role here in ministry is to help Pastor Steve and Pastor Mark with the financial planning, the oversight, and the guidance of the business operations at Hillview Heights Church. When you give back to the Lord, when you give money back and put it in that offering bag, our pastors, our staff, and this team take it very seriously. Whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, we try to be good stewards with your gift and use it in ministry and have it go as far as it'll go. Our goal is to fund every ministry that we can in the most cost-efficient way possible, with the resources that you make available to us. Pastor Steve and Pastor Mark have a great slogan. They want to be the Southwest Airlines of churches, the efficient, low-cost provider. Like Southwest, at Hillview, everyone can get a seat. Our goal is to have every flight full, every service full, and to utilize our resources there. Have no reserved or first-class seating. We leave on time, we all get the same service, and we get to the same destination, and that's determined by our relationship with Jesus. As you see in the booklet, it takes a lot of money to fund all the ministries that go on at Hillview. And our 2007 budget was $3,016,000. That's a lot of money, but we did a lot of ministry. And I'm happy to report to you that as of today, we are on budget. Thanks to you being faithful, we are on budget as far as giving. Thank you for being faithful. And also thanks to Pastor Mark and his team, and thanks to all the pastors and the staff here at Hillview, we're on budget as far as spending too. So we're thankful for that. Our friends at the IRS require that we have a meeting and we do a budget presentation, but we want to go a step further than that. We owe you a presentation that shows where your ministry money, your tithes and offerings have gone during this past year. And that's what we want to show you now. Here's a video recap of what's gone on in 2007. That's pretty amazing. I hope each of you saw at least one ministry and you said, wow, I didn't know that went on here at Hillview. This year we've had, as you saw in the video, we've got increased attendance. And on any week, we have at least 4,000 in the five services that we have, counting Wednesday night and counting Bible study. So there's 4,000 people on our campus every week. And during a month's time, we have as many as 6,000 different people that attend services here. And when you count Godstock, Christmas, and Easter special services like that, we're confident that we touch over 10,000 lives in a year's time. So we have a lot of impact, and that's increasing all the time. Our ministries are far-reaching. There's a lot of them that go on here at 3219 Nashville Road. But as you know, we have a new church plant with Pastor Tim in Ashland. We've done ministry work in New York City, Panama City, and we even have a new church plant, as you know, in Costa Rica. There were 954 church events, campus events, that took place here this year. That's over 19 a week. And I want to tell you, that, as you saw in the video, that for the third year, we broke the Kentucky Baptist Convention record with 505 baptisms. If you look in your booklet on, I think it's page 4, it shows an interesting history. Pastor Mark did a really good job of putting that in there. And it shows the history of when Pastor Steve and Elizabeth came here in 1991, and the budget was $92,000, I believe, $1,770 a week, and there were 16 baptisms. And it shows the progress each year. And so there's the fruit of this ministry, and I thank Pastor Steve for his leadership. Recently, he went to the Kentucky Baptist Convention, and there were two pastors who were honored. And they really did do a good job. They did a great job. They each served for 50 years in ministry, and they're retiring. And one of them had led, in his church, he'd led 1,600 baptisms, the other one 1,400. So that's 3,000 in a total of 100 years of ministry. That's a great job. But I want to tell you that Pastor Steve has led, in 17 years, 4,598 through today. Thank you for coming here, and thank you for staying here. Let's talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. There are 48,000 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. And let's see how we rank on baptisms there. Out of 48,000, if we were number 4,800, that'd be a pretty good thing. Top 10%, that's pretty good. But we didn't do that. If we were number 480, that'd be even better. That'd put us in the top 1% if we were in the top 480. But no, we were number 15 out of 48,000 in the United States. There are four key ways we measure ministry success here. We look at the ratio of baptisms for the area of the population. We look at the ratio of members for the area population to compare markets, so to speak. We look at budget dollars per baptism, how much is in the budget each year divide the total budget by the number of baptisms, and there's an efficiency ratio that you can get to there, and also budget dollars per member. And we can find no other church in the United States that matches what's done here at Hillview in any one of those four areas. And that's there's somebody to blame for that. That's Pastor Steve and the other pastors and staff here at Hillview for that. If you look at ministry impact, if we have 4,000 members, and I think that's a conservative number, in 100,000 population in Warren County, and I know that's a pretty close number, if you move that to Louisville, that has 1 million people, for a church to have the impact on the city and county of Jefferson, then they'd have to have 40,000 members. And that would be astronomical. So that's the kind of impact that Hillview has on Bowling Green versus a church that would have that kind of impact in Louisville. And if you had that kind of impact, then you'd be in a category like Brother Joel Olstein down at Lakewood Church in Houston. And he's got 5 million people in that market area. So we are reaching more people here in Bowling Green and Warren County, percentage-wise, than Joel Olstein is. So I think that's a good thing. For 2008, our goals are even higher. We want to break the record again of 505 baptisms. We want to break it for the fourth year in a row, our personal record and the Kentucky record. We want to continue growth through church plants. We've helped with two this year, and we intend to do more next year. We want to do more community involvement in events like the Single Moms Oil Change. If you recall, there were three this year. And we want to help more with the local Hispanic church that started in Bowling Green in 2007. But our biggest goal, the one that we feel would have the most impact, is to break ground on our new children and youth building in March. And that's our goal. To fund these goals, our team proposes to you a budget for 2008 of $3,224,000. That's $62,000 a week, a 6.9% increase over our 07 budget. It's already been approved by the first two services, and I would ask for your vote by saying aye if you support it. Thank you for your support, and thank you for being faithful in your giving to make all these ministries happen. Without that, there would be no balance. Our goal overall is to kind of try to keep it between the fences, to do as much ministry as we can with the resources that we've been given, and I thank you for that. Next, I want to give you a update on our Dream Campaign. We've had over $1 million that's been given year to date in this calendar year. And as you know, that's above your regular tithe. And we have a total in the bank today, when we started, of $2,257,000. That completes 22 pieces of our puzzle. And as you see there, those puzzle pieces are valued at $100,000 a piece. So we're hoping today to get to $2.3 million so we can put up another piece next week. Our groundbreaking is scheduled for March. Our plans are being finalized, and our building chairman, Mr. Dale Brown, is going to give us a complete presentation in January when all of that comes together. So we'll be keeping you updated on that. Just a note on year-end tax planning, it's that time of year, and there are some ways that you can give to Hillview without writing a check. And I just want to plant a seed if this would appeal to any of you. In the past, we've had land given. We've had houses given. We've had stock. Appreciated stock is a good way to give. We've had cars, trucks, boats, diamond rings, all sorts of things. And that can benefit Hillview and benefit you tax-wise. So I want to remind you of that. And if you want to participate in that, if you have an idea and want to see how to do that, if you'll contact Pastor Mark or myself, we'll be glad to guide you. I regret that there is no time for discussion on the vote, but if you have any questions, if I haven't covered anything and you have a question, I'll be glad to meet with you out in the atrium afterward and we'll answer any questions that you have. We thank you for your giving, and may God continue to bless the ministry here at Hillview.
Amen. Thank you, BAM team. Thanks, guys. Guess what? How's that for God's business in the life of His church? Have you heard the heartbeat? We're going to invite you now, because guess what? This part of the service, that's why I stopped the sermon. Because here's what I want you to know. There was another sermon. And I want you to know that you're important. Your giving's important. Investment's important. When we hear that word investment, you know what? A lot of beautiful people showed up today. And some of them showed up because Jesus Christ wants to come into their life today. And you know what? If you're a follower of Christ right now, you know what? We're coming toward this time we call altar. All right? So don't freak out. Here's what that means. I'm going to let Jesus Christ come make an adjustment inside of me. I really want you to have peace. But not as much as God does, because He went all the way so you'd have peace. What do you think? All the way. Here's the deal. Without Jesus, we found that people are sinners and they stay restless and discontent all the time. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, I could hand you $2 million today, and guess what? You would still be as empty as you were. You would just be $2 million worth headed in the wrong direction, away from life. But then there's this miracle called Jesus, and He wants to invest in you. And watch, here's what He said. If you will ask Him, He will come into your life. And there's some folks today that need to just simply ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe in You and I need You in my life. And guess what? Everything would change then, forever and ever. You say, will I forever be happy? Nope. You're going to forever be joyful. It's a lot deeper than that. And the reason that Jesus didn't say happily ever after is He didn't want you to get Him confused with a fairy tale. He didn't want to be confused with Disney. He's not in a world created somewhere else. Jesus creates His world right in your heart, in the reality of the everyday. So some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I believe. Some of you have already said that somewhere down the line. And today's your day to say, you know what? And I want to confess that in baptism. I'm going to step up and get obedient with Christ. Does that make sense? And get obedient with Him. Some of you today, we've looked at an investment plan. I'm going to ask you one thing about giving in this church, and I ask it unapologetically. If you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't expect you to tithe. Why would you? Doesn't make any sense. You're not connected. But if you are a follower of Jesus, I'm not going to expect you not to tithe. I'm going to show you how illogical you are. You're saying, Lord, I want to trust You with my eternity, but you're not good enough for a few bucks. Now, what's really your God? If a simple man like me can make that judgment, don't you reckon an eternal God's probably already figured out your heart? So we got to square up and be real with God. Because He wants to get real in us. Make sense? I love you all. And today some people are going to meet Jesus. Today some people are going to come to be baptized. And that's really cool. But here's what I wanted you all to know as followers of Jesus. Don't ever take that for granted. I've heard some Christians. I don't know. I must be reading from a different Bible than they read from. Because they always talk about something else after salvation. My salvation is my everything. It is my healing. It is my understanding. It is this revelation of who God is. And it continues to just grow and grow and grow and grow. And I don't know if I've grown all the way to the point where Paul is and says, but you know what? I'm a lot closer. I can say this with integrity. I'm a lot more content than I used to be, whether I have plenty or want. I've become to understand that Jesus Christ is what it's about, and all else will fall short. How many of y'all have come that far along? Amen. Well, let's stand together. Jesus would love to welcome you. Would you pray with me right now? Okay, everybody get your minds focused. You ready? Pray with us right now. If you're a believer in Jesus, I want you to agree with me. How many of y'all agree if somebody doesn't know Jesus today, they might have an opportunity to connect with Him today? That would be your heart's desire. Okay, let's pray then. If you've never asked Christ in your life today, you need some peace. You'd like some hope. Why not today? See, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I drank beer last night. You don't understand. Jesus Christ is bigger than that. Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. I've not been doing what I'm supposed to do. I want to tell you today, why don't you get some peace? And you know what you say? Well, I need therapy. You need forgiveness. I've found that people who are forgiven do a lot better in therapy. I've found that people that are forgiven, things square up a lot better, but they got to be forgiven. And so right now, listen. Let Him speak to you. Lord Jesus, You know the people today that need to come and receive You. God, I pray that they would allow You to enter, that they would understand You're going to stay with them no matter what. And Jesus, they can do all things through You who strengthens them. If you'll just nudge them today, that'd be great. Maybe you've already received Christ and you know you need to be baptized. You've put it off for years. We got people at Hillview that finally said, you know what? The reason I put it off is I never had a preacher got straight with me about it. You ready? I want to get straight with you about it. Jesus said be baptized because it was an act of obedience. I found when you obey Jesus, you get more peace. What do you think? So that may be a step today. Maybe you need to come today and you just need to kneel down and you need to say, thank You, Jesus. I know I have a different life because You're in it. And I just want to praise You today. That's worthy too, yeah? So no matter where you're from, no matter what you've been into, God's big enough to bring some peace to you. So right now, if you need to ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I believe in You. Let Him speak that into your life today. Maybe you need to come today and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Christmas is a great time to do that. Christmas morning, Christmas Eve. Just say, Lord Jesus, You're the real deal. You're the package worth opening. Maybe you need to come and do that today. Maybe you need to come and just say, God, I forgot You were there. Speak to me where I am. He will. God's that loving. He's that good. So I got great news today. You ready? No matter what, Jesus loves you. No matter what. So now I'm going to ask, if you want to talk about Christ being in your life, you want to talk about being baptized, you want to just talk about how good things are going in Christ, or how you have not been experiencing peace, and we'll pray that Jesus part of your life gets centered back up. But don't walk out of here today empty. Amen? So for a peace that passes all understanding, this altar is open. Come now in the name of Jesus, and let's celebrate together. Merry Christmas. Jesus Christ is for real. Merry Christmas. There is peace on earth. There is peace on earth. In the midst of a lot of headaches, there's peace on earth. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Jesus Christ loves you. Come on, church. It's your moment with Christ. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.